kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I have, as usual, a title for us to consider. And the title for this teaching today is The Life of Jesus Manifest in Our Body. The Life of Jesus Manifested in Our Body. We so often just think that this applies to the Apostle Paul, or to a certain few who are very privileged and walk close with the Lord and so on. But the Apostle Paul has always made it clear in his writings that he is an example to the church. And of course, that is what an apostle is to be. That is indeed what a fivefold ministry should be, of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But he went that step further, because God was revealing something through this man. We of course remember that at his conversion he was persecuting the early church, the Christians, throwing them into prison, and of course he has an encounter with the risen Christ. And he makes it clear that his walk and ministry is not going to be easy. He is going to go through much hardship and trial and testing. But God had a plan for that, because God was going to use this, and indeed did use this, and we see it in his writings, that through his life, his commitment, his love for Christ, God was going to reveal Jesus Christ in and through him. Now, of course, we know spiritual, but as we look at some of these scriptures, we're going to see what the Spirit was doing through him, in which for him to write, so that we too can live and be that example also. I think so much preaching has been done where it has separated the Apostle Paul and his writings and what we read about what God was doing through him, how he endured trial, imprisonments, beating, and shipwrecks and everything, that somehow that doesn't apply to us. He was special. He was consecrated for that. And of course, in many ways, he was. But he wouldn't write these things of his experience if it's not for the church and Christians who read God's word can also experience. And that is the point that I want to make, because I think at times we find in a lot of teaching and commentaries it's always set apart for a certain saint, and it's somehow not always presented in a way that you too can experience what they were experiencing as well. And that is, of course, why we preach the deeper life, and that we walk by faith and the way of the cross, so that we are experiencing as well. And I'm saying this in light of this title, The Life of Jesus Manifested in Our Body. And it is he is to be manifested in you and I also. We don't separate any of this, so that this is just for one person and that experience for them and them alone. No, it is not. The scriptures and the apostle does not present it that way. He says many times he is an example to the early Christians, to the church. He wants to present those believers before Christ, purified, walking by faith, the life of Christ in them also. You see that with his desire, his prayers, his intercessions, and in his writings also. I just want to make that one clear, because we know that these teachings are now going out to the four corners of the earth. People are listening to these, and that's why I have labored this before we get into this. Well, with that in mind, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 7 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 7 to 10. Now, we all know this very well. And I want us just to look at these few verses. And we'll take it up from verse 7. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." I just note there in verse 7, just what I've said. He said, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." He's not describing it, it's for him, it's his experience. He has to have this experience. He has to have the cross working in his life, in which for him to be able to teach and write things like this. And then he goes on, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body." And that, of course, is where I'm getting the title today, "The Life of Jesus Manifested in Our Body." So he's making it quite clear that trial and tribulations, that calling set upon his life, a special calling, very few have a calling like this, yet what he's experiencing through hardship, through trial and testing, he is making it known that others too experience it as well. And it's not just for the apostle, or it's not just for a few who are specially chosen, like so much is taught today. We have so much taught today that it was for Paul. Because there's so much unbelief, there's so much identifying with Christ, that the church is not taught that we too bear the life of Jesus is to be manifested in our body also. And this, of course, is why God has restored us back to the apostolic faith and under the fivefold ministry, so that we come into that maturity and perfection, and to be equipped for our ministry and so forth, as it says in Ephesians. So, as an apostle then, Paul often defended his call of ministry. And we need just to understand a little bit why he's writing this second epistle. He's writing it because he's defending his ministry, because he has a job to do. He has a calling on his life. He has had an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. His life is not the same. It is changed. It is called being born again. And when you are truly born again, not of the flesh but of the spirit, you have a job to do. Not just ministry, not just the Apostle Paul, each of us, in our everyday walk with the Lord, there is a job to be just to be fulfilled. Now, the Corinthian church had been influenced by false teachers. So we're beginning to start to see the signs of apostasy, the signs of the early church being attacked, because remember, this was written round about 53-54 AD. So the devil's getting active. And false teachers, they are trying to expose this man, as often they did. He was controversial. There were many of the religious people trying to expose, but even amongst the circumcision, which this is. And with this attack, they are attacking him on a personal level. They're attacking his appearance. They're attacking the way he speaks. They are trying to say he's dishonest. He's unqualified. And because this is going on, the apostle sends Titus to deal with these accusations. And on Titus's return, the apostle hears good news. The good news is that they have a change of heart. They have probably sought the Lord. They have waited on God. Are these accusations true? What is God saying? So they're showing a level of maturity, and they're waiting, and they have a change of heart. And Titus returns, and he tells the apostle the good news. And hence, this letter, Paul writes, this second epistle, he's thanking them for accepting his authority as an apostle. And he also, in this letter, he again appeals to his apostleship, and he appeals to those rebellious minority. That's what he's doing. He's not pronouncing judgment on them. He wants them to repent and turn. Well, that gives us an understanding and a leading into what he's writing here in his defense. And so he says here, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We know there's a lovely chorus, a lovely song that we hear often with those words that is played. But what is he doing? He's going to the root. He's going to the root that sustains, that helps him to endure and to be faithful. In other words, his eyes are on the cross. He not only bears the mark of the cross, even in his flesh, but his eyes are on the cross. It is the heart of the gospel. His eyes are upon that cross because that reminds and tells him what it cost God to reconcile man to himself. And he says that this treasure is in earthen vessels, the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. He understands this power in his life, as the title tells us, the life of Jesus manifested in our body. This power is not just for the spiritual side. It's actually so powerful, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, it's so powerful that it affects the flesh as well and helps to bring the flesh unto conformity to the will of God. And it takes the power of God in which to do this. Now you have religious people today who closet themselves, who put themselves away in nunneries or monasteries because they're aware of this. They read these scriptures and they think that that is the power of God that will conform the flesh to discipline. But they've got it wrong, because they're doing it in the flesh. It's religious. This is a spiritual work. This is done by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, so that we can endure, we can be faithful. And that as his eyes were on the cross, so our eyes are on the cross, as we too take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. You see, he was aware that to succeed, it takes God's power. And brothers and sisters, if you want to succeed and be used in these last days, you have got to give from your head to your heart. It takes the power of God. Yes, even in my flesh. That is the only way it will ever succeed. You see, the church today is ignorant of this. And this is why it tries to work, plan, and scheme, and organize, and so on. I've watched some videos on the power of God, or whatever. The church is very aware of the power of God. But they somehow see the power of God when you get into worship. Let the power of God come down as we worship God. But it's all on emotions and feeling. And they believe that that is the power of God. Or because they've had a prayer meeting, or they listen to that sermon, that to them is the power of God. And they've got it all wrong. The only way you will ever start to understand or know anything about the power of God is when you face that cross that you too are to take up and die daily. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit. And he will work that in you, and you begin then to understand that this is quite different. This takes the power of God in my life to overcome, to walk this walk. You will never walk it otherwise. And some of you, bless your hearts, you're struggling. And the only way you have to let go of everything, let go of the things that are the closest to you, or the things that still try to hold you emotionally, and psychologically, you let it all go. And then the power of God begins to work. And when you start to receive that power that is found through the cross, there is something within you wants more and more and more of it. Because it is something supernatural that you can't do, that's sustaining and holding you and causing you to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way it can be done. And if we look at verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So that is important what he's saying there, in light of going to the power of God, that it may be of God and not of us. So what is the apostle saying here? He says God has entrusted the greatest news and revelation to be shared with earthen vessels. Wow. And what is an earthen vessel? Well, the Apostle Paul was clearly revealing what was common in those days. Poor people used to use earthen vessels, clay vessels, either to carry water or to cook in. But the problem was they weren't very durable. They weren't very strong. compared to those that could afford it to have metal. And there's the difference. They were cheap to buy in value against the metal. And the wonderful thing about the gospel is that Jesus wasn't afraid to embrace and live as an earthen vessel as well, that the power of God may be manifested through him. And it's exactly the same with us. His power is for his glory, not for his vessels. And that's why he rejects the metal vessels, those who are proud, arrogant, highly educated. They think they have full of wisdom. They've been educated at the finest school and colleges. God rejects most of those because they're metal vessels. He wants earthen vessels. They're fragile. They last very long. They're not ideal to actually cook with and so on. But he says, that's what I want. I'm reminded of Gideon. Remember, that battle was won when they broke the vessels that made the light to shine. There it is again. The light of God is for earthen vessels. And he says, because you're earthen vessels, I will empower you, so the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, not of man. And that is what the power of God in your life reveals to you. That is what you see happening. And when you lay your head down at night before you go to sleep, you say to yourself, Lord, this was the power of God today that brought me through, that brought me through this battle, and so on. That's what he wants to remind you. This is what he wants to keep telling you. That is what the power of God is for. He knows you can't do it. You're not telling him anything new. But he's provided. And if we put these simple principles, yet that are so profound, if we put them in use, as we are taught week after week after week, taking up your cross daily and following the Lord, you will start to become aware of the power of God working in your life. Because that is what he wants. Well, he doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. So he says that he's hard pressed. Now, this is the idea of somebody who's being hunted. Somebody, they're after you. I'm reminded in the book of Acts, where there were, I believe, 40 men of the Pharisees and Sadducees who were after him, and they made a vow that they would not eat or drink until they capture him and murder him. And of course, the apostle was protected. The army, the guards got to hear what was happening, was told what was going to happen, and so they protected the apostle Paul on his way to the Sanhedrin. This is what he means, that he's hard pressed. He was hunted down. People were conspiring against him. to take his life. And so these are some of the experiences. He says, we are hard pressed. He's not just saying himself, we are. We go through it. He's not trying to make himself special or any different. Oh, I'm hard pressed, by the way. God had to preserve my life because there were some out there wanting to take it. He doesn't do that. You don't have to when the power of God is working in your life. He's identifying with the body of Christ. He's identifying with Christ, and Christ in him is identifying with the people. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. In other words, he says, I'm not crushed by my trials, as hard as they would be. These trials that I go through don't crush me. It feels like it, but it doesn't happen. Why? Because he's sustained and kept by the power of God, the same as we are. But not in despair. Have you ever felt despair, despondency, as though there's no hope, just give up, what's the point? No, he's not going to entertain that, and nor do we, because we have the power of God in our lives, sustaining and keeping us. We may not understand the trial, we may not understand why this is happening, but I refuse to be in despair, or vexed, or allow the enemy to get in and buffet. You see, what he's doing here in verses 8, 9 and 10, he's actually guarding his mind. He's revealing that he has the mind of Christ, put it on. He's not allowing his mind to be affected by the trials and tribulations. And he's encouraging the saints to do likewise. That's what I'm reading through this as I look at it. You know, Paul's life was hard. Do you know why? Because of his love and his loyalty for Jesus and his word. And in the natural, that made it look as though his life was really hard. Trials, tribulations. Why? Because he was loyal to his Savior Jesus and to the Word of God. And those of you who love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind and being, God says, I will equip you for that, empower you so that you can sustain and keep that. You can walk each day with the trials and tests and tribulations. God has to empower us if we want to love him with all our heart and soul and mind and being. It's not just enough for lip service. You have to be empowered for that. Why? Because you are a target to the powers of darkness. The enemy does not want us to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind and being, because he wants to be God. He wants you to worship him. And that's why we go through the trials and tribulations like we do. But God's always one step ahead, because he said, I know what the enemy's up to. I know his tricks. I know how to trip you up, but I will empower you. And this empowerment comes as we too keep our eyes looking to the cross of Jesus Christ. As the enemy tried to stop Christ from going to the cross, fulfilling God's will, so he tries to stop us. And this is where the empowerment of God is through the baptism of the Spirit. Very well. Paul knew the power that's sustaining him. He knew his life was that through every situation he was dependent on the power of God to sustain him. And he's not afraid to show this. Remember, he's writing this epistle to these Christians because they're accepting him. They're not going to listen to those false teachers that are trying to say lies about him. And he's now opening up. He's revealing to them how he does it. How he's faithful. How he can go that extra mile. Face shipwreck, whippings, stonings. Very few go through what he went through. And he's writing this epistle here. And he's giving the secret, he's giving the key to how he sustained, how he can go on. And he says, it's not about me. I'm simply an earthen vessel. But God has chosen through earthen vessels in which to reveal his power. And he says, that is what sustains and keeps me. This is supernatural. This is miraculous, and this is what the Christian church has to come back to. This miraculous power that sustains and keeps us, that enables us to be able to endure to the end. You see, else it's not going to work. It's not enough just to confess the promises and just to read your Bible. All of that is important. But unless my faith and my belief is in these promises, I will not experience the power of God in me, made perfect through weakness. And of course, the Lord has to show that we are weak. We can't do this. We can't walk this walk. We can't even love God as he demands and wants for it. He has to fundamentally put that in us. And he will if we ask. But we ask for the wrong things. We're always asking for the things of the flesh. We say, seek first the kingdom of God, is righteousness. And he says, all these things will be added unto you. We don't even need to give thought to it. If we're putting the kingdom first, everything will be added. Your bills will be paid each month and so on. Because God knows we're earthen vessels. But those vessels have to be filled. If they're to be used. And so he says, hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. So look what he's using, the language he's using. Yes, persecutions, we are persecuted. It is going to look as though we've been forsaken. It is going to look as though we're struck down. It looks laughable, ridiculous. Look at that bunch of people. Why do you go through what you go through? They don't think God is with us. Just a handful faithfully coming together to hear the word or coming into the room. Most people don't think God is with us. We're a laugh, we're a joke. That's what they think. Struck down, but not destroyed. Here we are, after all these years. We still go on by the grace and love and mercy of God. Most in this walk, in the deeper life, in the past, wrote Ichabod over us. And yet by the grace and mercy of God, we continue to stand, and most of them have gone back. Tragically. Verse 10, was carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So he's saying here, always carrying about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Not in the spirit, in the body, it's in the flesh. What is the apostle saying here? He's also saying, it feels like the death of Jesus is being worked in me. That is what he's fundamentally saying here. He's saying that his death is being worked in me. They are still persecuting him. They are still rejecting him. They don't want him. He's not taking it on himself. He's realizing the one that they are persecuting, that they're coming against, you see. Now, we can get an understanding of this in Philippians 3 and verse 10. Let's turn, we know this well, in Philippians 3 and verse 10. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That I may know him. And he says, I need to know the power of his resurrection. I need to know this fellowship that comes in sufferings, to be conformed to his death. That's what he's asking to know. That is what he wants. That is what he's praying about. Are we beginning to see, brothers and sisters, how God still needs to do quite a bit with us still? Now, what is this death in us? What is this if we want this? What is this all about with these earthen vessels as I bring this to a close? Well, he says, Jesus is to be seen. The world needs to see that he is alive, living today. And the world will only know and see that through you and I. And it comes as we talk here, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. That's what he's wanting there. Because he's experiencing that, he's giving that out to these early Christians. Can you see the level of spirituality and consecration these early Christians walked? When we look at contemporary Christianity today, comparing what we're reading here, it's like chalk and cheese. Look what the apostasy has done to professing Christians over the centuries. How far removed we are from what the apostle is saying here. It's just staggering. And this is why we're in the time of restoration, being brought back to this teaching, being brought back to these standards, these experiences, because the word of God doesn't change. And so this death in us is so that Jesus may be seen through us, world. This death in us is so that we remain faithful and we stay with it and we endure to the end. This death in us is so that we go that extra mile when it is required of us. It's only going to happen by the power of God being made perfect in us. To embrace our neighbor, it takes the power of God in us, the life of Christ in us, his death in us, to embrace our neighbour and certainly our enemies, and to turn the other cheek? How about counting it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations? It takes the death of Christ for that to happen. Else you will be expressing your dislike for this trial, and you will hear what comes out of your mouth. How about for fellowship, koinonia? Our true fellowship can only come when we manifest the life of Jesus in our bodies by the power of the Spirit. That is where true fellowship comes, that koinonia. Because if that isn't there, then your fellowship is cliquey. You have your favourites. I don't care how spiritual you are, you do. Just like the world does. And finally, for ministry and to be a light in the world. That is how it comes. So let's read this again, and we're going to see this in a completely different light as we close with this, that the life of Jesus manifested in our body, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. May our Heavenly Father have mercy and grace on us, that we may too live to that standard, but not in ourselves, not in our efforts, but dying daily, so that the power of God may be manifested in our bodies. That, brethren, is the only way it will work, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow.